The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and happy Saturday, day before Easter to you. And I hope everybody's going to try to get together with family and friends tomorrow. And it's Passover for our Jewish friends, and happy Passover to you. And it's a wonderful time of the year for what the time means. So I just hope everybody takes some time out and thinks about different things, how we can improve ourselves and be happy. The main thing is, though, be with friends and family. Well, we got a great show for you this morning, and I think I had heard from my partner in the internet station that Diana is going to be nominated for the Talk Saratoga Hall of Fame because she's a pretty regular on the show now, and we're really glad she is. But I tell you, if she gets it, it's going to be great because I'm not even in there yet. So,
wow.
But anyway, I want to welcome our guest this morning because she's a terrific person, Diana Yezzi. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Cannot complain. It's finally spring.
You know, it is, and I hope it stays that way for a while. And it's supposed to be nice off and on, I guess, during the week, warmer, but maybe a few showers in that, which this time of the year you kind of expect, you know.
Flowers are going great.
Flowers are going great, and as a friend of mine said, that April showers brought the Mayflower.
Exactly.
So, no, Mayflower. So, but anyway, it's really good to see you. I always enjoy when you're on, and I miss Peter today, but I'm sure he'll be thinking of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wanted to talk to you for, we're going to do a double discussion today. One on integrated and integrated staffing, which is your main business, or it was, and probably still is. And then you started some horse stables that are absolutely fantastic. Beautiful area. Perfect land, perfect spot for it. So we're going to talk about both of those, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
And I want to talk about integrated staffing first, because it's the time of the year that, I mean, any time of the year is good for getting a job. But this, you know, in the spring, the restaurants start opening up. There's other things like the Great Escape or the track and that. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about before the show that the employment numbers look good, but in reality, I don't see where they're all that great.
There's so many jobs out there right now, and pay rates are going up, and it is definitely a buyer's market for employees right now. So that's going to be tough this summer, I think, especially for those seasonal hospitality type of organizations, including our own. We just signed with New York State Racing Association again yesterday.
Good.
And so we're hiring 800 for the Saratoga Race Course, and I think about 1,000 for the Belmont Racing Stakes Festival. And we're concerned.
Yeah.
There's not as many people out there.
Well, we talked about it last year, and last year we were coming off the pandemic year, and it was still, you know, with that variant, people were still a little squirmish. But one of the things that surprised me anyway was the lack of the young people that came out to work. The older people I could see being a little tentative, you know, but it was the younger people that really surprised me, because usually high school kids of working age or college kids want that money for the you know, either college or whatever, and it just didn't seem like they were getting jobs, you know?
It's interesting. We actually, last year, we went down to the age of 14, and for recruitment at the race course. And what we do is we have teachers that supervise those 14 to 15-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And what we found is we had a great staff of 14 to 15-year-olds. Then it kind of dropped off that 17 to 18, and then the mid-20s and your, you know, people that are returning every year.
Sure.
So that those, like, freshmen, sophomores were great for us last year. And, yeah, it was an interesting dynamic. We hadn't really seen that before.
Well, that, you know, and that's good in a way because they're getting a work ethic at an early age. And I always, we always talk about at the bus garage, I work for Upstate, and we they have a school division, so I drive a small school bus. And, of course, it's, you know, it's like everywhere else. Bus drivers in short supply, monitors are in short supply, and most of the drivers and monitors are retired people. Mm-hmm. But we always talk about the young people today not having the work ethic that we had. And I don't know if every generation says that, you know, but it just seems like you used to be they there were job openings and you could get. Parents would want their kids to work. And it just seems a little harder with the young people today. Like you said, freshmen and sophomores, I think, is great because they're learning at that early work age, you know, geez, I can make money.
Yeah.
And, you know. And
I don't understand it. You know, you probably were the same way. I started working when I was 13, I had a paper route when I was 9. The funny thing is, it's just a different mentality, is how their work is not as important. Like, there's that work life. It's just a different mentality than we grew up with.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily sure it's better or worse. It's just not how I was raised, where you work and you work and work. And that's it.
What
and,
I know. Did. I mean, if we wanted anything, you know, my parents made my brothers and I work for it. I bought my, I mean, I started working at a Holiday Inn, our local Holiday Inn, when I was 15, but I had worked for an older woman before that, cleaning her house, taking her garbage out, mowing her lawn, when I was starting at 13. And but if I wanted something, I wanted a stereo, I bought it with what the money I made. I bought my first car. I paid my college tuition at a community college, which was, you know, back then it was a one-room college, but no. But, you know, I mean, and you felt better doing it yourself. And I don't know. Today, I think it's a different mentality today. I think parents of every generation didn't want their kids growing up without things that they went without. And I think we got to a point where now they just hold their hand out and mom and dad gives it to them. But, you know, I don't know what it is. And I'm sure you don't either, because if you could put your finger on it, you'd probably be able to solve the situation.
It's interesting because there is, especially now, because there's not that many people, you know, out looking for positions. So we're really trying to look at the dynamic of what people want and what they want in terms of their work-life balance. But how, because no matter what, you want to be happy in your job. And so we kind of pivoted a little bit. And it used to be that we were really focused on our clients and how to make them happy. And now we're realizing that we have to have that happy staff as well. And so what do we need to do? And we're finding that flex time is a huge thing. You know, shorten shift. So instead of a 12-hour shift, an 8-hour shift. For some people, 12 hours is too long. Mm-hmm. And we understand that. And we're kind of looking at all these different things that we haven't had to do before. I think it's a very good time for the employee. And I'm hoping some of these things stick. Some of them are tough for as an employer.
Yeah.
You know, the Sick Leave Act for New York State was really difficult for us. It's been an expensive program. So there's certain things that have definitely hurt corporations and companies. But on the other side of it, you do have satisfied employees. We're finding we don't have as much turnover because we've changed that shift to the employee, you know, importance. And that makes a difference. You know, we're not spending as much money on the recruitment costs because people are sticking around because they're happy.
Exactly.
You know, so, yeah, it's a weird time.
Well, you know, I think also that, I mean, I was a business owner and, you know, very small, so I can't. I'm not talking about me, but, you know, the big corporations and that, people always say, well, they're making so much money. They don't pay their employees anything, but they employ so many people. And I think one of the things that's come out of COVID and total shutdown, which I think was kind of a mistake, but is that I think their employers are more willing now to make some concessions. Like you said, the flex time, maybe a little more benefits, and it work with the employees a little bit more because you want, I mean, the most expensive part of owning a business is training a new employee and then having them leave. You got to train another employee and then have them leave. So you want to keep the continuity there. But one of the, you know, I used to, told you about the McDonald's. And, you know, people laugh now, but if I had a child that was of working age, I would want them to work at a McDonald's because they've raised their pay. They offer college tuition assistance to the employees. But what the kids have to do is, and I think this is every McDonald's. I know the one on Exit 18 does this. What you have to do, though, is when you're on a vacation or you have summer break, you work at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But then they help you tuition assistance. I don't know how much, but, you know, that's a perk that I would want as a kid or as a parent to have my child do. I mean, you have a job when you get home for Christmas break, summer breaks, you know, midwinter vacation or whatever. How can you beat it?
Exactly. And with college tuition, I mean, especially right now, that's a huge plus. Even if you only get 5% towards college,
yeah,
it's worth it.
And I've been going up there on my run now. This is 6 years I've been going to the school up there. And I've seen kids that have worked there when they were in high school and all through their college career. So I know, and it's on vacations and that. So I know they must have gotten some tuition assistance. And I think that's what businesses have to do now. They have to think out of the box more than they did 20 years ago.
Definitely. And the perks make a big difference. We do a lot of gift cards and we do a lot of raffles and just everything. We're finding that employee engagement is a huge plus.
Yep. How do you find employers? Did you always find employers taking on employees maybe without a lot of background in the industry they were in, and today they're more willing to take that to train because of the employment situation?
Definitely. We're finding that we can put people into positions that 5 years ago would have required a lot higher level of aptitude, and we're able to put somebody in who might only have a year of experience in that field just because of the fact that there's not that many people out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because there's so many job openings. There's so many businesses that are still hurting for workers that have to cut down a day, shut down for a day or two so the employees they have can work the 5 days and get the hours, you know, and it's just sad.
Yeah.
I mean, that really put a crimp on the whole world, that virus. It's terrible what it did and what it got us out of the habit. We talked about exercising a little bit before the show. And when you exercise all the time, you feel good, and it's a drive that you want to do it the next day. If you don't do it the next day, you don't feel quite as good and that. And I think it's the same way with work. When you're working a job, that's what you do. And then if you shut down for 6-7 months, well, gee, I don't know if I want to go back to work if I'm getting some assistance here. And, you know, you get out of that habit. It's just like in life. You know?
Absolutely, yeah. We stayed open the entire pandemic. Mm-hmm. I worked in the office by myself. I had all my other employees were able to work at home. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't mind it. It really was, I feel like it was kind of like a little bit of a decompression. I've been doing this now for 26 years and I'm 13 with my own company. And I was kind of like, you know, it was a time where I could kind of look at everything else. And so I didn't, the lockdown, and it didn't affect our business.
Okay.
We did lose business. We lost quite a bit, but we were able to kind of change the way we were working too. So it was a good good point for us just to kind of change how we our mentality too.
Well, I think what it did for a lot of businesses was to reexamine their how they operate and maybe get into a new way because it's a new era now, really. But I know I didn't mind it up to a point. I'm not one that likes time off. You know, I dislike vacations. I don't mind having 2 or 3 days off. But I mean, I miss the socialization part because I love talking to people and going out for coffee with friends and stuff and getting together, going out to dinner with, you know, my wife and some friends of ours. And I miss that. I think the socialization part hurt adults as well as it did children.
Definitely.
And that's the part I miss the most.
Yeah.
But that did have an effect on a lot of people not being able to have that face-to-face contact and stuff. But for businesses, and it gave us a chance to reexamine how we do business and what can we do to make it better and easier. Because it was always going to come back. Business is always going to come back. And how can we be there if, you know, the employees aren't going to come back? So in a way, that was good, that part of it.
You know, it's so funny, too. We found the minute the lockdown happened, which was, what, March 17th or 16th?
March 15th, they shut everything down.
The minute, then all of a sudden, we're so much more automated. You have to be. Yeah. You know, think about it. Zoom wasn't in anybody's language 3 years ago. I'm still using Zoom to this day.
Yeah.
And Skype. And hybrid, you know, schedules. Now every position I recruit for, I have to promote that it's hybrid because people got used to it. But the whole business entity changed for just about everybody.
All it's the dynamics,
Yes.
And I think, too, there's like my daughter's a mortgage closer, and there are 6 girls in her work area, and they offered them if they wanted to work from home or in the office, because they can. If you get your work done, you can work from home. You know, you get your 3 computers set up, and they give you a phone line. And she decided to stay home, and she gets more work done there because she doesn't have to travel. She can work those 2 hours of travel time. But what it gave the employer, the bank, cut back half of the office space that they were leasing. So that's a benefit for them, and it's a benefit for the employees to stay home and work. It's a win-win for them. And like I say, as long as the output is there, you know, that's good.
What I found, and it's interesting, is my internal staff, you know, typically they worked a 9-to-5 day. Well, when they were home and now that they're on hybrid, I find that they're putting in time, like I'll get an email at 10:30 at night. And I know that everybody during the day is probably doing laundry and kind of, you know, I understand that. So to me, the idea that you're putting in time outside of your work hours is a huge plus.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, in your industry too, I'm sure you deal a lot with different states also, correct?
We have New York City, Kansas, and then we have a couple national contracts that we deal with wherever their locations
are. Okay, so basically they're in different time zones. So if you've got people putting an hour in or 2 hours in at night because they took an hour or two during the day, that may be beneficial for the businesses that are out of state because it's earlier there than it is here, where you would be shut down here and that would be it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that's how you have to tweak things. And if you still get the work out of the employees and it works for them and it works for you and you're both happy, hey, that's, you know.
They did a big study that said that hybrid schedule of 3 days in the office and 2 days at home is ideal.
Yeah.
It gives people the socialization and that teamwork building of the 3 days in the office and then 2 days at home gives you a chance to kind of wrap things up. I find that when I have my entire staff in the office, and we do Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, entire staff, and then Thursdays, Fridays, people work from home. And I find that those 3 days allow people to kind of keep that teamwork going, feel like they're part of a group, and still give them a nice chance to be home for a couple of days.
And you're probably getting more work out of people on a Friday because Fridays always used to be a goof-off day at work. And maybe not in every business, but a lot of businesses, you were more relaxed and I know when you're younger, you used to go out on Thursday nights and Friday, because, oh, tomorrow's Friday, you know, it's kind of an easy day. But if you're a hybrid like that, you're probably getting more work out of them from being home than having to drive into the office and that.
And we have a whole group together. There's also a huge amount of other distractions.
Yeah.
You know, we start talking about what we're having for lunch at 10:30. Yeah. And then do we want a coffee run in the, you know, all of a sudden we're all cut eight, everybody's talking about it, you know, so having them home for a couple of days kind of, you know, everybody focuses a little bit more. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. I mean, I get that from my daughter's aspect. I mean, they're super, super busy in getting the mortgages ready to close and that. And they have so many a month that they have to do. And she works 8 o'clock and she takes 15 minutes for lunch. And then she'll work till 5 o'clock, have a half hour for supper. And then she's working until 8:30 at night. And it drives her nuts, but she's got to get the work done. They have to meet a quota. But she does it because she's home. If she was in the office, I don't know if she could. I mean, well, she could because she's really, really a neat kid. But being at home affords her the opportunity to maybe take a 5 minute to relax and that. And like you said, you're in the office. You're talking with the other girls and talk for 15 minutes, say, well, it's time for coffee, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And what are we doing for lunch?
Yeah, let's find out what so-and-so's up to, you know. What's going on with her?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, God, did you see this person was in the paper? And then we have to spend half hour talking about that.
I love it. You know, I mean, it's great. It's great. The other thing I want to talk about is skill building. We talked about people hiring maybe not unqualified workers, but maybe not as experienced as they could before. Businesses, are they willing to, and you said they'll take on people that 5 years ago they may not have because they didn't have that level. Do you find it that they don't mind hiring a less skilled employee so that they can teach them, you know, to get the skills, or is it pretty much still you have to go in with?
You know, it really depends on the role. We do a lot of engineering placement for State University of New York. And so we do a lot of their engineering. They have projects. I think, you know, we have a project at SUNY New Paltz and Plattsburgh. And what we're finding with those engineer positions is there is no, they're not taking anybody that's a recent graduate. These are 10, 15 years of experience.
Okay.
So that's one end. And then on the other end, we work with a lot of catheter manufacturers in Glens Falls. And that's a tough position. You know, it's a lot of manual dexterity. You're on your feet. And they're willing to take less experience to find the candidates that are going to stay around longer. So it really just depends on, it's really kind of a crapshoot depending on the client.
Yeah.
You know, more than okay. anything. And where they are and what their ultimate goal is. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. What do you think now about, I know we talked a little bit about this and we don't have to get into politics about it, but I kind of chuckle when they come out with the job numbers because it always looks like it's rosy, but when we drive around and see businesses with help wanted signs out on every business, or, you know, we're closed on Tuesdays now when they used to be open. I know I can't get my favorite pizza anymore on Monday or Tuesdays because they close one extra day. But there still is a huge need for positions.
One of the things that I think really made a big difference was how that $15 an hour federal minimum wage, and what that did is it changed the mental dynamic of minimum wage. So all of a sudden, $15 an hour is your minimum wage. And, well, you can't pay $15 an hour because that's just minimum wage. So all of a sudden, you're at $18 an hour. You're at $22 an hour because your mental block is now 15.
Right.
And that is what we're finding. It's great for the employee. And I'm not saying it's not unwarranted. I just it really does. All of a sudden, you're doubling what you're paying out in salaries, and that's a huge hit. So people are hiring less people because they're paying more to the people that they have because they have to, because they're competing with the McDonald's down the road that's doing college tuition reimbursement. And so there's this like slippery slope, and I think a lot of that came from that $15 an hour federal minimum wage.
Well, they were talking about that too before when they were talking about raising the minimum wage. They said one of the things that you can expect is cut back in jobs. And like, I never thought about what you just brought up about the mentality, because you always strive higher. So if you're getting paid $12.50 an hour, well, gee, why aren't we getting $13 or $13.50? So they, you know, boosted it up. New York State's a gradual increase, but there's a lot of states that, you know, they're $15 now. And so the normal thing is, well, why am I not getting $17?
Exactly.
You know, so as an employer, you're going to say, look, if I employ 200 people and I'm paying out $5 more an hour, from the minimum wage to, and 200 is a low number for, that's a small business. That's a lot of money. And it's coming basically out of my profit, which I'm struggling to make because everything else is going up. So, you know, it's a win on one hand and a loss on the other, you know, because there's more automation now in businesses, you find. And, like, you can go to a kiosk now and put an order in and get a number, and then they call your number, and there's your food, instead of having somebody wait on you, you know?
And yet you still have to tip.
Yeah.
You still tip on there. I'm like, well, I'm doing all the work.
I know. I know.
We are big employee advocates, though. I feel like $15 minimum wage is legit. When I opened 13 years ago, I think it was $9.
Yeah.
So, you know, and $9 was, then people wanted $10, and then $10 was the minimum wage, and people wanted $11.50. And there, every single time, it's that gradual. Do I think it's absolutely necessary? I do. I think employees deserve it.
Oh, yeah.
But it does, yeah, there's that block now. I won't take less than 15.
Right.
You know, unless you're really new. Like, we have the kids at the track that this is their first experience, and you know, we're showing them, and that's fine. There's for corporations that we're recruiting for, and people that are in the workforce, you know, they have a few years in, that $15 an hour is kind of that mental block.
Yeah. I do want to say, though, you had mentioned the track and the kids, but they also, if they work, let's say every day, and there's only 40 days, they can get a nice size bonus.
Yeah.
That is an incentive for them to show up to work. And that is huge. Now, we used to get a $100 bonus as security guards if we worked every day, and they took that away from us. But for kids, for a summer job, that's pretty darn good, because that bonus is a pretty nice size if you work every day.
It adds quite, I think, I want to say $3 an hour. Like, it's a nice little chunk of change for them
to get at
the end. Yeah, yeah. So it's completely worth it.
Yeah.
And it's great experience, I have to say. I mean, it's just a really good place to kind of, you know, get your idea of what you want to do. And it's just, it's a lot of fun.
You meet a lot of people, and it's good talking. And, it's a great atmosphere up there. And I don't bet on the horses myself, but I like being in that atmosphere. And you meet so many nice people, especially where I am. I'm, you know, right up from the winner's circle at the mm-hmm. press box stairs. But you get to meet so many people and talk to them, and every year it's like a family reunion. It's just, they come back and they always stop over. Hey, how you doing? How was your year? And that. So for kids, that is a great job, and I wish more kids would take advantage of it, because I'll tell you, you have fun in the summer and you're making money.
And we're really cognizant of the fact that we know that this might be some of these children's first job. So we do have a huge amount of teachers and people that can supervise.
Yes.
Because I would think as a parent, you'd be like, oh, I'm not sure this is a drinking environment, it's a gambling environment. But we really have tried to take that issue off the table, because of, we understand how they...
Well, that too. And there's always... other people, like security. They can come. They come to me a lot if they need help or if they have a problem. And you have your green shirts, which are their supervisors around. And so there's enough people that can help them out. So if you're a freshman in high school and you're a little timid and that, but there's always people to help you out. There, no white cap has ever been left to get in trouble with people. So it's really a great job. I wish I didn't live up here then, but I kind of wish that there was something like that for me, because the restaurant business is kind of tough to work in as a teenager.
The tips are nice too. Like, that's the other thing. We try to. Hey, you're getting a nice tip. We also have Matt Hogan and my husband are on the track every day, so we always have representation there.
Sure.
Matt is really involved in the RNC, so he knows a lot of people. And his children both worked for us at the track. They're both in college now. But so he knows inside and out. I think he's been doing it now for 9 or 10 years.
Yeah.
So he knows the track itself very well, and he knows
the ins and outs.
Exactly.
And
that, yeah.
I know you stop by to see me once or twice a year, and that's always fun. Oh. But yeah, it's a great environment to work. And, last year was so sad because the employment was so low, and they tried everything, pay incentive and that, to get people, and they just didn't want to work, so hopefully we're looking a little better this year. I know I have my 8-hour course next Saturday, so crazy thing, we have to take 8 hours every year for a 40-day job. And
same thing every year too.
I could go in at 5 o'clock, take my test, and it's the same 20 questions. It's fun. You get to see the same people. So as one that employs people, and you deal with a lot of businesses and a lot of different industries, what's your feel been from last year up to this point? Are things getting a little easier, relaxing as far as getting people to work, or is it still a pretty tough pull?
It's actually, getting people to work hasn't been that hard. The regulations that New York State has put into place over the last 6 or 7 years has made hiring people in terms of the onboarding much more difficult. There is a lot of things that we have to do when we hire people now. New York State, I don't know if you read, but is requiring, I think, I'm not sure if it's going to be August, but everybody needs to put 3% of their check into a retirement plan.
Oh, really?
It's going to be mandated. So then we're coordinating the retirement plan and the Sick Leave Act, the COVID pay. COVID pay was really hard last year. We were supposed to get tax credits from the federal government, and we haven't seen them yet. We paid out a huge amount of COVID for quarantine, and now the sick. So all of these programs are great for the employees. It's a lot more work
on the employer.
And when people are talking about supply chain and how much inflation has gone up, well, all of these that you're getting benefits from affect the bottom line. So,
sure.
We were talking about a box of Ritz crackers is now $6.99, and all of these things add to that, never mind the supply chain issues as well.
Exactly.
What used to be maybe took 50 cents to produce is now taking $4 to produce.
I know.
Just so that's what we're finding. It's not the people so much, is more just the rigmarole of hiring people.
Right, and the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
That is getting, like you said, with all these mandates that are coming down. Now, I think that's going a little too far, requiring 3% to go into a retirement. Maybe that's one way that we're kind of looking to eliminate Social Security. I don't know. But, the mandates are tough on employers, I know. I just dislike when people complain about business owners all the time and companies not doing this and that when they really don't know. I think companies should make employees part owners so that they're responsible for a lot of the expenses. And then maybe they'll appreciate, well, you know, it wasn't bad getting a pay with maybe health insurance and that. And I don't have to worry about what happens if we're not as busy this month, but we still have to pay the big expenses, you know?
Well, it's so funny because an employee came in and she's like, oh, I want to buy this stuff for a job for that we have. And I said, okay, well, get me pricing. And she's like, well, there's a difference of $20. And I said, well, we're going with the cheaper one. And she was kind of surprised. And I said, no, you don't understand. When you're a business owner, every dollar counts. Yeah. And I know it's easier to go with this $20, but I'm constantly for 13 years, you're always looking at how are we going to most effectively make our money
right. And
keep people employed?
That's it. Yes. Bottom line counts for everything. If you don't have a good bottom line, employees then suffer too, you know. I just had a thought, and I usually write it down, but there's nothing on my pad, so I guess I didn't write it down. But you've been in business and integrated now for over 25 years.
Well, right? I've been with Integrated for 13. I've been in the industry for 26.
Oh, in the industry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. And Integrated, I opened in 2009.
Okay. And, I remember you from back then because I used to have coffee every day. And, and one time you had an office upstairs, and I always wondered what you did. And, you know, and then like, you weren't there that long, and then you kept moving to bigger offices. One of the things that I think should be mandatory is that people should be paid by direct deposit.
Oh, me too, Rick.
I think any business that hires an employee should ask them if they have a checking account. And if they say no, then open one and get direct deposit.
New York State will not allow you to mandate it. I actually checked with my attorney yesterday.
Really?
About this because we offer pay cards and direct deposit. And I said, I'd really like to mandate that those are our only two options. Those are two good options right there. You cannot mandate no checks.
I don't understand that myself because I think on the business, as a business, it's so much easier.
So much, it saves so much time. I mean, just in terms of mailing and in terms of generating paychecks. And then if people want to stop by, there's a huge amount of time constraints. And yeah, you cannot mandate it. That's funny that we were just talking about that yesterday.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know a friend of mine had a very large business and people worked for him in different parts of the state. But he said, I think he had like 800 employees. And he said, I only do the direct deposit. Mm-hmm. And if I'm hiring an employee and they say they don't want direct deposit, then I just kind of don't.
Well, you can't do that now. There's nobody out there.
No, so, I know. Yeah. No, I know. Hope you can throw a fishing line out there and snag somebody and draw them in.
Whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, and I don't know why, because it's so much easier. And it's easier for, like, myself, because I don't have to go to the credit union every Friday and deposit my check. And it's nice to know I can go online, make sure it was deposited, and then go from there, you know?
We're going to strongly encourage it this year, and because you do get your money a little quicker.
Right.
We have our checks generated from our New Hampshire location, so they're FedEx to us.
All right.
And we'll get like 1,200 checks a week. And you can't guarantee right now, just because of the way everything is, that we're going to get FedEx on time.
Exactly.
So we're just trying to like really encourage people, but you can't make it mandatory.
You can't mandate it. Well, and as before, postage has gone up, so it costs more to get those checks from New Hampshire to Saratoga. You know, I have a replica coin business on the side, and to mail first class used to be $1.85 because they don't weigh that much, you know, in an envelope. And now it's $4.80. So I started mailing media mail because that was still about $1.90. And now that's up to $4.25. So I'm saying to myself, wow, you know, if you were mailing a thousandth of these out a day, that postage cost is huge, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, see, and people don't realize all that affects the bottom line. So when you have to raise your price, they're saying, what are they doing raising their prices like that? You know, in today's world, you have to. I mean, go to the grocery store and buy 7 items and put it in one bag, and you still have room in the bag, and it comes to $54. I mean, you know.
I only Instacart now because then you don't have to worry about that as much. I find if I go to the grocery store, next thing you know, I'm like, oh, I'll put this in and that in. So now I just do curbside delivery, pick it out on Instacart, and I'm done.
That's the way to go, yeah. Because, you know, I kid around with the girl in the grocery store. I don't go in with a cart because I'm only going to pick up 2 things, and I bring one of those little bags. And she sees me, because I always like to self-checkout, no matter how much I have, but she sees me walk out, and I come back in with a cart, and I said, 2 things. That's going to end up being 15 by the time I get out of here. She goes, you know what? That happens to everybody.
Everybody.
Well, you see, oh, I'm going to get this. I don't know.
I just need the little red basket.
Yeah,
I'm
really.
I'm fine.
Oh, gosh, I'm telling you. So, you have businesses all over that you get employees for.
Yes.
And everything in the different parts of the country that you deal with, do they all have the same problems, or is it different in geographical locations?
It is different. Like, we're recruiting for Kansas, for the state of Kansas. So you know how we have the Empire State Plaza and everything. We recruit for New York State OGS.
Okay.
And we're doing the same thing for the state of Kansas. Their pay rates are much lower.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different dynamic. My workers' comp case and workers' comp payments in Kansas are much lower. It's just a different, you know, so it's kind of interesting. But on the other hand, you don't make as much.
Right.
Because Kansas doesn't want to pay as much as New York State does.
Right.
So.
And it's probably less expensive to live in Kansas as it is in New York State, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, or California, where I'm sure you can buy a house in Kansas a lot cheaper than you can in New York in certain areas like Saratoga. I mean, you know. Some areas are just a little more expensive than others.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know some of the Midwestern states, it is cheaper to live out there, and so they probably don't pay as much. But
it's so funny. We've been working on these jobs, and I said to the staff, like, what's the capital of Kansas, which we should know.
Yeah.
You know what
Topeka?
It is? It's Topeka.
Okay. Yeah.
We're all like, oh, we don't know. We're recruiting for, because we're so far away. You know, it's not. So then we had to Google Earth it. Takes up time when we're working type of thing. So.
See, when I went to school, the nuns always made us learn state capitals to associate it with something. And I associated Kansas with tapioca. So it takes me a while to remember what tapioca meant in state capitals, but there you go. I mean,
you knew more than all of my staff and myself. We're all like,
Well, see, you should have had nuns work you over a little bit when you were in school. You kind of remember things more when you saw that ruler coming at you with the metal edge, you know? Because those stories are true, you know?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that they are.
But you learn discipline. That's one of the things. So, compensation and benefits employees are getting better at because of the competition for what jobs, what people can get, and the work-life balance. I think work-life balance is probably one of the most important things in a job. And as we, I mean, other than compensation, and as we talked about, it's one of the better things that have come out of that shutdown is that working out of the house or a couple days in the office, a couple days at home, you can balance your life out a little more and maybe get more production out of an employee, and it's better all around for everybody, I think.
One of the things that we find, even for our clients, even for like warehousing types of roles, is that our clients, you know, if somebody has a child that needs to go to the doctor, our clients are much more accommodating. So I can say whatever I want for my internal staff, but people that are out at the Target Distribution Center or up at a catheter manufacturer, our clients have become much more, oh, okay, you need to take this morning off because of this. We didn't see that a few years ago, and now we're starting to see a lot more accommodation, and that goes back to that work life.
Yeah. I think there is an ease, I think, in what employees can get. We talked about that earlier. Like the Maternity Leave Act, I mean, that's a six-week place. Now, do employees have to get, they still get paid for being out that 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm, yeah, they do. Yeah. So it's either short-term disability, the Family Medical Leave Act.
Okay.
So, you know, those are two really, disability in New York State is very good. And it's expensive for employers, and the Family Medical Leave Act is as well. But it's, New York State is one of the few that has that. So that if you do go out for disability, for something outside of work, it's nice to have that coverage.
Yeah.
You know, so that 6 weeks is paid for maternity. Family Medical Leave Act, they'll pay the father to stay home.
Yes.
You know, so there's, you know, it does, yeah, New York State's really expensive, but that's some nice, those are some nice perks.
Oh, that's a nice incentive. It makes me want to have another child, so I can, no, I'm only kidding. And they do take some of that out of your paycheck, but it is not that. I think it's like 20 cents or 18 cents a week. I mean,
it's up to 65 cents per week, up to $400 a year. But like nobody ever gets that.
No.
But I think it's 65 or 62 cents.
I mean, you can opt out.
But for 62 cents, knowing that you could get 12 weeks of paid if something catastrophic were to happen to you, your family members, your brother, your sister, your parents, why would you opt out of that?
No, I think it's crazy for the cost. I mean, and I wouldn't mind paying it, even if I didn't ever think I was going to use it.
Nobody ever thinks they're going to use it.
No,
ever.
I know.
You know, same thing with health insurance. Nobody ever thinks it. So
yeah. Well, I'm glad. Hopefully things will start picking up a bit, and I think we're going to have a great summer at the track. And you always do well. You always look good, so things are going good, except for your leg. Diana broke her leg, and exercising on it, if you can believe it.
I'd like to say I broke it doing something cool.
Yeah.
Like skiing or helicoptering or
something. Or doing jumping jacks or something like that, you know. Well, talking about the track kind of eases us into a new adventure that you and your husband got into. And that is Yezzie Thoroughbred Stables. And it's located in Middle Grove. But before we do that, I just want to just mention one other thing about integrated staffing. If you ever are looking for employees or you have job openings, Integrated Staffing is located on Maple Avenue, Route 9, just outside of Saratoga, off of Route 50. And Diana Yezzie, that's Y-E-Z-Z-I, is the owner. And you can contact her. The phone number is 518-583-7823. And the email address is dyezzie, and that's Y-E-Z-Z-I, at integratedstaffingcorp.com. And willing to talk to you. She's a great person. And I would use her for if you're looking for a job or if you're an employer looking for workers. I want to get back to the Thoroughbred Stables because I went to the site, which is YezzieThoroughbreds.com, and boy, what a nice looking place.
Thank you.
Located out in Middle Grove.
Yep.
And everything is so clean and nice. Let's talk about how you got into, the reason why you got into this.
We've worked, you know, integrated staffing work with NYRA for so long, New York Racing Association, for the last, this will be our seventh year, and we're a huge believer in this industry. And we had the opportunity. We drove by this farm, and it used to be Equability, which was a thoroughbred, a therapeutic stables.
Mm-hmm.
And we would drive by it all the time, and we noticed that it was just getting overgrown, and it wasn't being utilized. And it was a beautiful piece of property. And my husband sent a letter to the owner of the property and said, if you ever wanted to sell please reach out to us. And that's, we got very lucky on it. And so back last August, we had purchased it, and just, you know, they just didn't have the time to put into it. And so we went in and cleared everything out, and it was absolutely all overgrown. And we've put in four pastures and four run-ins. We have a riding arena, and we have 13 stables. Wow. It's on 20 acres, so it's a smaller farm. And
20 acres is nice.
Yeah, well, part of it's mud. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay. It's on those are good for mudders. So.
Yeah, there you go. It's on a tributary of the Cateros.
Okay.
So, and it's got a pond. And, you know, you had to kind of look at it and have an eye to see where it could go.
Sure.
So we were really happy with it. Yeah. We have no horses yet. We're offering boarding.
Okay.
We're offering whole facility rental of the place, so you could rent out all 20 acres with the hay barn and the riding arena and all the stables.
Yep.
And all of the acreage. We're putting in one more pasture.
Okay.
And another run-in for the horses. So, yeah.
No, you can go to the website that I gave. We'll give it before we leave, but it tells on the website, it's a great website. What they have, as Diana said, you have five large paddocks and 12 stalls with fans and mats, and one double stall for foaling, which, I'm not... The girl that's the office manager at work, her daughter has been riding for jumps and that for years. And so I was talking to her about horse stables and that, and getting a little bit of thing, and when I had her go to your site, and you have nice lighting, LED lighting,
mm-hmm.
24-hour security cameras,
yep,
a fully lit indoor riding arena, and large tack room and bathroom facilities. And I got to tell you, if you go to the site, and they have a whole page of pictures. You're going to fall in love with the place. I mean, you know, I don't have horses, but it makes me want to buy one. Now, your boarding prices are very reasonable.
Yep, that's completely self-care. So we don't turn horses out or feed them. Basically, that's the place they rent to stay.
Yeah.
And but they do get all of the pastures. Yeah.
Well, that's neat. What about, do you have anyone that gives lessons?
We're looking at more boarding. We might move into therapeutic at some point.
Okay.
Because our indoor riding arena has a place where you can put a wheelchair up, yep, to go onto a horse.
Okay.
So we're kind of moving in that direction.
Okay.
And we've been meeting with some other therapeutic companies to rent out as well.
All right.
So that's but we're not doing any where you rent a horse to go walk around or anything
that. Yeah. But I meant if somebody boarded their horse there because, you know, they wanted to learn how to, you know, jump horses or use a horse in that. Do they have, do you think you'll get to the point where you'll have a teacher out there to be able to do that, or is that not your plan for the farm?
Yeah, that's not our, there are a lot of horse farms that do that.
Right.
But we want people that kind of know, you know, they're coming in to either, as therapeutically, we're thinking about children with autism.
Okay.
Or people that have their own race courses, or they have their own horse that they just need a place to stay.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and then they can go out into one. I mean, each of our paddock is about an acre.
Okay.
A little less, so yeah.
I got to tell you, I used to pick up a child out in Middle Grove, and that the landscape out there is so beautiful with the hills and the fields. And excuse me, allergy time. The fields are so pretty. It's a pretty place to have your stables out there.
Yeah.
As long as they don't put those big solar farms in, we'll be okay.
I know.
Gosh, they're fighting that like crazy.
I hope it doesn't go through. But it's such a nice, it's a pristine little area.
Isn't it?
We're very lucky. Yeah.
I got to take a ride out there. I meant to take a ride out there a couple weeks ago, but.
Anybody who wants a tour? On the radio or with you, let me know, because we would love to.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, we're completely trying to get so people know about us. And
well, I'll tell Lisa at work too. I'm sure she'll want to come out to look at it. You know, her daughter's in college now and has her horse out there. And she had it boarded somewhere around here, and they that's where she was getting lessons and that. But she fell in love with it when I gave her the site to go look at, you know. Because
I made that website, so it was okay.
You did? Yeah. Oh, it was great.
Like, there's my other job is making websites, apparently.
It is. Oh, my gosh. Well, the nice thing about it that I look for is ease of working the website, you know, what you want to find to make it easy to get there, and yours certainly is.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
I love the pictures because a lot of businesses are that don't put enough pictures where somebody can get an idea of what it looks like. And my gosh, you've got a whole page of them, and they look great, you know. So I hope you do really well with that. And I know you will, because you and your husband are so knowledgeable about business and operations, and that you've been dealing with the racetrack as far as getting employment, and you've been around all that. Now, did you ride as a child or no? Did you have horses?
I didn't have horses, but I did ride.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a long time. I'm too old now.
Yeah.
But we love it. And we love working with Naira. They've been a great partner for us for 7 years. And my big thing is, you have any children who want to work? You know anybody who wants to work this summer? They should definitely reach out.
And they have a open houses usually in June or the beginning of July. And keep an eye out for that in the paper. They're usually right at the track. Well, they used to be. I don't know if they're at the city center 1 year.
Embassy Suites, city center.
Right.
I think we might be back at the track. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I mean, it's in the paper, and look for it. Or you can get a hold of Diana at Integrated Staffing, and again, the phone number is 518-583-7823. But also, the horse farms, you got to look at that, and it's a beautiful area, beautiful farms. Go up and take a look at them. It's on 553 Middle Grove Road, and again, you can get a hold of Diana through Integrated Staffing, and just take a look. We have wonderful things in our area that we should be taking advantage of and taking a ride out and looking at them. Diana, thank you for being here today.
Thanks so much, Rick. This was a lot of fun.
It's always great having
you
on.
Yeah.
It really is. The things never change, and it's always information people can look out for.
I'm really excited about this whole Hall of Fame thing.
We have a big ceremony. You have to talk all day. Oh, yeah. it's fun. Hopefully I won't have allergies then. But I want to bring up Homer. Homer Sarbanoan is a tremendous music show. I've got it on for 3 hours when I get home. So, Homer, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Next week, this Sunday's Easter.
That's right.
And that's going to be a nice day. And next week, I won't be here.
But I will.
Yeah, but Homer will. He always fills in for me when I'm at the track, or if I have something to do, and I'll be at the track next week, but unfortunately sitting down for 8 hours listening to the same things I've listened to for 9 years.
Oh, well.
So, oh, well.
Enjoy.
Yeah, you take care.
All right, thank you.